episode is brought to you by Wix.
Welcome to another episode of Sheer Motivation Podcast. I'm your host, I'm Delina, and I'm with my lovely co-host, Trey. Tell people hello, Trey.
What's good, what's good?
Before we get started, please don't forget, you can find us on Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Apple Podcasts. And while you're here, before we go further, don't forget to hit that like and subscribe button. So, today's episode I have entitled Notes of a Man. You know, and I don't want to make you the poster child for all men, but you're the poster child for all men. So I always just think it's great to get some male energy and feedback on stuff. And so it's always good when I get to do that. But first, before we go any further, I'm going to take it back a little bit because me and Trey met about 4 or 5 years ago. And for the listeners, you can't see him right now, but he did a little head dip. He didn't put the head down. And I'm going to tell you why he put that. You want to tell the people or you want me to tell?
I can tell the real version.
No, I'm very accurate.
No.
So I want to spend the first couple of minutes just so you can get an understanding of how Trey and I met and the dynamic of our friendship. I was starting a brand new job several years ago. I was familiar with the field, but this was in a different location. To be a little bit more specific, it was at the courthouse. And this particular day, fast forward, first day of work, the supervisor was walking me through the work area and introducing me to several of what would be my coworkers. At this point, I look over, I see Trey walking, and she was like, oh yeah, and this is Trey. Trey looked like he was in the military, left, right, left. I mean, he was straight eyes, straight ahead. He had AirPods in, never looked, never wavered. Okay. So I was like, she said, yeah, that's just Trey. This behavior continued for about 8 months in. He was referring to me as the new girl, walking past me several mornings after I would say good morning. And one day I asked him, I said, well, why do you treat me like this? He said, oh, none of you really make it past 4 or 5 months. It's really no point in me learning your name. You know, maybe when we get to the year mark, then I will put some effort into it. And not only that, he continued to make my work life pretty irritating there, you know. And so we developed a rapport over time, and it was sort of this back and forth joke moments. And then we would have moments where we bonded and moments where we laughed tears, and it was just a good time. So since then, he can't get enough of me, hence is why he's here. That's how I remember it, Trey.
Okay, so there were some factual points in the story, but realistically, all right, so I'll be completely like 100% honest. Like, when you came to the courthouse, we had just got rid of probably, I say, like 3 or 4. We had to do like a rotation of 3 or 4 clerks. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I'm not a morning person. And I happen to be at the court at the crack of dawn and deal with all of those personalities and coworkers. I don't really try to deal with it. So I tune out. I put my AirPods in and I don't be playing anything, first of all.
Okay.
There's nothing playing. I just have them in because I don't want people to talk to me or say anything to me when I walk in. So they see them, they automatically assume you can't hear them.
And then you later admitted that day you heard the supervisor calling out to you.
100% heard it.
And then he proceeds, after I made it the year mark, okay? Well, let me let you go ahead. So, go ahead. Describe the nature. Okay, so you're going into these personalities. You don't, you know, it's early. You're not a morning person. Yes. So that day, you do admit that you heard me say good morning. You walk 100%. Past me on purpose.
100%.
Okay. And after the first couple of weeks, did your behavior change?
No, not at all. Because I felt like it was no need for me to get to know you or learn your name if you weren't going to make it past 2-3 months. Like, that would have been a waste of my energy.
You had no faith that I was going to make it past 2-3 months. And remind you to my viewers and listeners, I was going through a very hard time. At this time, I was going through a whole separation. I was getting up every day trying to use all my effort and energy just to make it to work. I just was trying to be nice and polite. Okay. And he just wasn't very welcoming at all. Okay. So this created this interesting comical dynamic between the two of us, because once I made it past the year mark, it was this thing of, okay, I guess I'm stuck with you now. That was how he treated me.
Pretty much.
Okay. And I just can't believe that you acted like that.
I can't. It was very easy, honestly. Very easy.
Okay. So now that we've made it through that, and then there were moments after the year mark, we sort of bonded and we would talk about this and that and laugh and, you know, all of the things. So thus, here we are now, several years later. We continue to grow our friendship, although sometimes I question why I do it to myself.
That's because you don't like my advice that I give you, and you want to be rebellious and try to do things your way, and then you end up having to do things my way anyway, and then you get mad because I'm right. That's what
there have been some moments like that, and I enjoy, and I don't have a whole lot of male friends, so I try to hang on to the couple that I have, and I do enjoy some of your feedback and advice, but you can be a little judgmental at times, and then I have to put you in your place.
I don't call you being judgmental.
Yeah. And I also want to point out, before we go on, you were working, and you all, Trey always got to work late every morning.
Wow.
Work time, start time was 8 a.m. I just want to put this on the record.
Wow.
And I would be in his cubicle waiting when he would arrive at like 8:20. And I would be there like just giving him that look like, late again. It's giving very much so unemployed. That's what it's giving. It's giving counsel in the office, you know. And today, I see that some of those traits still exist, even though, you know, he's a very mature 40, you know, and and I see that sometimes age just can't break bad behavior. Because today, what time were you supposed to be here for this?
Okay, first of all, I'm barely in my 30s, freshly in the 30 club.
And damn!
Come close. Get in here.
Damn!
Delina has this habit of trying to be someone's mother, especially in the work environment. So for her to feel the need to keep track of what time I arrived at work, even though I still worked harder than everybody that was there before me and after.
So what you're saying is you did more on accident than most of the employees
exactly.
did on purpose.
Exactly.
That's a lie from the
I had more experience and more things that I was exposed to than clerks that have been there for 50 years. So.
Nah. Okay, so that's how you wrap that up. Okay, so you were late, but you came there and did more
did
on accident than most of them did on purpose.
So if I was late or not, I did my job. So that's the important part.
But do you play well with others?
Probably not.
Okay, as long as you know.
Probably not.
Okay, as long as you know. So today's episode is titled Notes of a Man. And I did a play on words with this. It's really just some a couple of spaces I want to go with this, but I did a play on words because what people don't know is one of the ways that Trey and I bonded is I would be in my cubicle, he would be in his cubicle, and then he, you know, he summons to get my cubicle moved closer to his, but we won't even go there on this episode. I came in one day and they were like, oh, we're moving cubicles. And I was like, oh, where am I going? And when I realized where I was going, it was a cube right beside him. And I was just like, you, I knew you. I knew it. That's how I remember it.
Okay.
So anyway, I would hear Trey singing in his cubicle. And I said, you know what? A waste of all this talent inside of this cubicle. You know, so I thought it would be fun because maybe at some point during this episode, we can get a little bit of B flat. You know what I mean? Maybe we'll be able to get some out of my, I don't know.
Hilarious.
But so no submit. So I think about my, you say I'm always thinking I'm the mother. And I think about my boys. I'm raising two boys. And I think about the journey women go on and the journey men go on. And it's difficult for a woman, but I don't know what that's like specifically for a man, but I want to talk about like that weird space where you are full on in adulthood and several things are in motion and you have to figure it out, you know, your niche in life, your groove, your thing, you know. And I know how difficult it is for women, and I feel like I'm just now starting to find mine now that I've been married, separated, divorced, kids, started a whole new career, jumped out on something, you know, just on faith. And it turned out to be a really good experience. Brand new opportunities. My job allows me to travel and things like that, and it's really fulfilling. But I wonder what that space is like for a man, because I feel like this world is set up really rough for women, men of all colors, but specifically for the black man, you know. And it's like a little space of a journey that I can't relate to, but I'm curious about because I have sons. So let's start with the journey into adulthood when you're trying to find the correct friends to be around, the job that gives you purpose, and then the fulfillment of maybe a personal, you know, romantic relationship. Like, how do you navigate those spaces without losing hope? Because I feel like I done lost several, you know. So let's talk about friendships. How is it difficult to be in a space of being a black man and finding meaningful just friendships, people that genuinely care about you?
Facts. I would have to say, like, first of all, being a guy and having friendships in general, like, look completely different than friendships like that women create.
Mm.
Like, for us trying to find a friendship, like, most of the time a guy's friendship is with somebody they bonded with since like adolescence or like school or like college, like that's mm-hmm. it. Like, most guys don't make new friends mm-hmm. outside of those three phases. Like, they just don't. Like, it's hard to meet a grown man
mm-hmm.
and then you like start a friendship or start like, you know, chilling yeah. with a grown man.
Yeah.
Because first, a lot of people are either gonna be looking at you weird because they're gonna be homophobic and think you're trying to come on to them,
mm-hmm.
or either you're gonna have a situation where they're just trying to get something from you, or like it's always a weird phase being a man trying to start new friendships. Mm. It's a little different and it looks a little weird at mm-hmm. times.
Yeah, and see, for women, it's so different because, like, I went, you know, I can go to a concert or wine fest. It's like, oh, hey, you sitting here? Oh, come sit here. Well, what's your name? You know,
you're like, girl, I love your nails. And you're immediately starting to
right, and we're like, talking, yeah. change numbers and this and that. But then there's also that space of friendship where you spend a long time building and being friends with someone, and then something unfolded, you like, dang, I thought we was better than that, you know. But in all of that, the dope thing about creating the friendship for women, I know, is it gives us an outlet. If I'm going through a hard time, I got a couple of friends. Now, you may not want to tell them everything depending on who they are. You got to know what topics to put in front of what jury, but it gives us women an outlet. For men, like you were saying, it's difficult to be in adulthood and create that friendship. Like, it's like, you know, yeah, I met him a year ago and we cool. Like, if something happened, if I get stuck on the side of the road, I can call him. I know he got my back. But where does that look like when you're going through something? What's your sounding board like?
That's the weird thing. And also, like, an amazing thing about being in 2024, like, now relationships with guys, like, who already have those friendships established mm-hmm. are a little more vulnerable when it comes to, like, talking to people and, like, talking about their feelings and things of that nature. So, like, it's one of the great things that I say now with this younger generation more so
mm-hmm.
who have, like, put out there, like, they're not afraid to express themselves mm-hmm. or share their feelings with their friends. Like, I feel like this younger generation has done things that we should have done.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it so fast. It kind of makes me jealous at times mm-hmm. because they're able to say and do things that we would never say and do out loud or in front of other people.
Young people would jump right on out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You were like, I've been over here getting ready to get ready. They out here doing
amazing.
It. Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
I just feel like my generation being 35, like, damn. 35 plus. All right,
but young people will jump out there and just do stuff. But I feel like with my daughter, I have to tell her to slow down sometimes, you know. But yeah, I always wonder just how that space is. So when you have these friendships and you're going through something and you need a friend, a sounding board, what does that support system look like? Let's just say you're dealing with, you know, just work and just life, your family is getting on your nerves, you know, and you feel overwhelmed, where are those friendships that you can turn to like vent and be a sounding board?
I know for me personally, it's like childhood friends. Like I have two guys that like I talk to like consistently, especially when something's going wrong or I need advice. Like they're the people that I reach out to. But like I said, like I don't express myself to like new friendships or people that I met like within the last year. I just feel like sometimes we put too much trust in people, especially in our friendships. It's when we meet people off rip, like you just start unloading. That to me is a red flag. That's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. That you just unload on somebody you barely know. Like you don't even know my last name yet, but you telling me all your life problems. Like I just find that kind of weird.
Yeah, and I think my problem is, now I don't necessarily do that, but my downfall is that I'm an open book. You know what I'm saying? And because for me, it's like I really don't care what people gotta say. But also, I had to learn to limit certain things. Certain things you just can't put on trial for this group of people, you know, because people will make up things, they'll conclude things, they'll summarize for you. Next thing you know, you're like, well, wait a minute. I mean, I did share this, but that's not how it went, you know. And so I think for women, we have more of a broader support system, but then you have your close-knit friends that you can like really, really trust. And if you get the two blurred, it could just be real catty with women. At least men don't have to deal with the cattiness of it.
And that's the funny thing. You do have to deal with it. It's just not in the way women do it. It's a little different, but you do still have to deal with those same issues. Like dudes gossip and talk like just as much as women do. Like don't let nobody tell you different. Like
that's crazy.
I promise you. Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. Okay. Yeah, I've heard that before. I've heard people, these men run their mouth just like sassy women. So, yeah, I've heard that. I haven't experienced because I don't have a lot of guy friends. I only have two. So, it doesn't really happen to me too much. But, so when, okay, so fast forward. When you're in, I know for me, when I was in this space of like going to work, juggling, and it's not that I have a problem with going to work. My issue was I would go to work at the end. You got something to say about my work ethic?
Nothing at all.
Because I felt that I heard you thinking that you had something to say about my work ethic. Because she was always on time. Yeah. And very rarely called out.
Yeah.
Let the record reflect that when I left there, they paid me for my time that I had saved up.
Okay.
Did that happen to you?
Yeah, I got to pay out too.
Probably like $60.
Lies. Lies. Because I never took vacation days. So I got to pay out.
You didn't. You were real good about that. You were real good about that. And I always just say, well, dang, you got to take some days so you can go to get your dentist, your eye doctor, your physical. You know what I mean?
I use my sick leave. Don't tell nobody.
Who's going to know? But yeah, but that space of going to work, but then feeling like this ain't enough. Like I'm barely getting by. And just, I remember it was hard. Like I just felt like, dang, there's got to be something better. You know, something better for me. Because this is not, that space for a man, I would imagine is very difficult. You know what I'm saying?
It's so funny you say that because I literally had just gone through this situation. So for me, I left my career.
Mm-hmm.
No job. Mm-hmm. No income.
Step down on faith.
I have bills, like legit life problems and situations, and decided to go back to school, like to be able to further myself and set myself up in the long run, like with a career that I know is going to like pay off. So for me, stepping out on something like that, like trust me, it was completely God, because like it's absolutely no way I would have done that or fathomed to even do that on my own. Like, so now I'm in this situation where I'm going to school and I'm like doing little side gigs basically to like make money and things of that nature. And it, for a moment, like it really plays with your mental. Like I know that first week, like for me, I was really depressed because it was just like one of those things is like, what do I do for money? Like, how am I going to pay for this? How am I going to get this done? So it's one of those things where like, if you don't have a support system around you, people that really have a strong faith, Like, I mean, some type of groundwork or legwork there where they believe in God, where they can like back you up and say things to encourage you and things of that nature. Like, I feel like we don't have enough of that in our community. Like, at all.
Because even when I like you, was going to work, if you're listening, and this may be you, you're going to work every day. You're getting the bills paid. Maybe barely. But there's this internal urge.
You want more.
That there's, I want more. There's something out there that's better for me. Because this is not how I want to live. And I used to hear, like, it's funny you said, because I used to hear all the time, I used to watch Sarah Jakes all the time, and I used to just hear her replaying, you know, when she read the script, she said, when God says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, it's to prosper you and never harm you." And I was just like, well, where's the prosper? You know, I need more prosper. I need it. I want to feel it, you know. And so when I was going, starting a new career field, I jumped out there. I was like, I read the job description. I said, they're going to get this application today. Jumped out there on faith. One of my friends was like, go for it. What you, you know, went to the interview. It was a panel interview. I was like, what did I get myself into? I'm just going to wing it. I'm listening. One of the questions they asked me, what is an accessory structure? Because for those that are not, you know, if you haven't listened to last season, to tell you what I do codes and compliance. I'm that girl that's telling you what to do with your property. Yep, that's me. It's all for safety and the well-being, though. So let's keep that in mind. But to get the certification, it's a national certification, and you have to study. And so I read a job description. I was like, ooh, that sounds kind of stiff. I'm going to try it anyway. You know, and also, if you don't pass the test, then you can't keep your job. So that was a heavy wager. You know, it's like, I'm going to jump out on faith, but guess what? If you don't pass this test, you gonna be jumping into something else. So went to the interview, left the interview, and I remember laughing, like, and I called one of my good friends. She's like, why are you laughing? I was like, girl, I don't think I got that job. Because they asked me, what is an accessory structure? In my mind, I said, accessory. And I needed to stall. So I said, can you repeat the question? Because that's what I do at an interview if I don't know. Because I'm trying to come up with some. If I'm at an interview, let me let that motivate you. If you ever had a job interview and you need a second to think, say, I'm sorry, can you repeat the question? I want to make sure I understand. And then my whole time, I'm like, accessory. When I thought accessory, I thought, earrings, bracelet, watch. This is where my mind went. Structure, okay, it's got to be an addition, maybe like a shed, a garage. You know, so I was like, well, I don't really... I said, I don't know, but I'm going to try. And I told her, I said, when I told her, I told them exactly what I just said. And they were cracking up. They was like, well, actually, you're kind of right. It's a shit. It's something. Okay, you have the house, the main house, and then you have an accessory like a shed, a garage, a fence, a pergola, or, you know. So I was like, oh. So I actually like guessed and was learning at the same time. But... you know, I say all that to say, like you said, you got to have people around you that are going to encourage you. Because I put in the job application. They called me. I wasn't even going to go to the interview. And I was like, my friend was like, you already done put in the app. Evidently, they saw something about you that they're interested in. Go to the interview. What's the worst that can happen? You already got a job. Step out. Just do something different. Studied, you know. I didn't really have a whole lot of friends encouraging me while I was studying because we was all like, oh, this could go either way.
True.
This could go either way.
True.
And let's take it back for a moment. When Trey first met me and I asked him, I said, well, why did you walk past me like that? He said, you gave me Stacey Dash vibes. Is this facts or is this not? Did we not have this conversation? Tell the truth for the people. Because everything is sheer motivation on this podcast. Transparent, sheer.
That is 1,000% accurate.
And then I go, Stacey Dash, I mean, I don't really think we look alike. I said, well, what do you mean by that? He said, you know, cute, but that's it. Kind of like airhead, not really all. I was like, you know? And I think my friends thought the same thing.
It gave very much Becky when I met you. So it was just kind of like, Lord, why did they bring this girl in here? She ain't gonna know how to do nothing. She's gonna be asking everybody for help. Like,
and I was.
Everybody down. So that's what I thought. So I was like, yeah. Stacey Dash.
And so I think I brought that up because I think my friends, they was rooting for me. But it was a pretty intense test. It's a time test. They give you 3 big books. You got to study. You know, it's really intense. So I don't think that, it's not that my friends didn't think I was capable, but it was like, okay, this could go either way. I don't want to say too much of one thing or the other. We just going to back up and let her study. But I made it. And that's why I say what you said, when you have to have good people around you that are just planting that seed of encouragement and just keeping one foot going in front of the other. It's real important to do that, I think, and take inventory all the time of who you have around you. But that's good.
Let's not forget too that we do need those, I don't want to say negative friends, mm-hmm. but we need those realistic friends too. That's going to be like, you know, in our ear saying, all right, you sure about this? All right, you got to do this and this and this. Did you mm-hmm. think about this? Mm-hmm. Just so we can have that extra motivation. It's kind of like, I don't want to say it's like, I'm going to prove you wrong type thing. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things where like, sometimes that can motivate you when people like have that, I would say, realistic view on things versus someone who has like a faith outlook on things.
Okay.
It can sometimes help with the motivation as well.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Because sometimes I can go through something and I'm a realist, but I have to watch myself because I can also be very pessimistic. And then next thing you know, I done talked myself out of, you know, whatever, that's, you know. So it's like good to have that balance. That's, people just going to give you that feedback. Okay. So how is the space navigating romantic relationships? Because I, and you know this, I was married for a little over 10 years. I went through a separation and then a divorce. But when I first was like putting my toe in the pond of dating piss, I'm sorry, the pond of the dating pool, it was real murky. So I wanted to know, in that space of navigating that as a man, how is that? I know how it is for a woman. It's pretty something, but jumping out there, meeting new people, going to places that maybe you haven't been,
facts,
you don't go all the time, but then getting there. And then, you know, for men, you guys have to take the lead on a lot of, you know, well, hello, you know, or taking that first. Well, sometimes, because these women is pretty aggressive.
Exactly.
But just how is that space? How is that space?
I would have to say it completely depends on the man. Like, some people are a little more reserved and they won't speak for themselves. That's when you have, like, your homie go up to speak to somebody for you. Mm-hmm. Pretty sure you had other guys talk to you for other guys before.
Yeah, and I block.
So it all just depends on the man. Like, I can only speak for me personally in that realm. Like, I don't have a problem with speaking to somebody that I want to talk to or like get to know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it all depends on my mood of that day. Like, sometimes I want to be bothered.
Moody.
I am. Like, some days I don't feel like dealing with it. That's why, like, I feel like I'm choosing to be single at this point in my life because, like,
please and thank you. Don't you ruin nobody else's life.
I don't have the energy to like put into like all of that talking phase and dating, and I don't have it in me. I don't.
Well, I think that when it's something that is divine or destined for you to have, I don't think it's too much work. I think it kind of flows.
It's gonna come easy. It's gonna be real natural.
Right, real natural, real like, oh, this feels like home. But I think it's great that you recognize, you know what? I ain't in the space to try to go there and do all that. So let me not even waste their time or my time.
Of course. Because once you put yourself out there and you start doing it, knowing it is, or you don't have the time or energy, that's when you get those weird relationships and situations where they start off calling you every day, every morning, texting you good morning text, texting you before you go to sleep, sending you little cash apps to get you lunch and dinner and stuff.
I know, ain't that
then
sweet?
It dwindles off, and then you're sitting there
and
calling
then I pop
you
up.
Exactly.
And then I pop up on you like, and what you doing?
It's weird.
So let's talk about that. in the beginning, I just want to, when you meet someone, the GM gorgeous, you know, they'll do that. GM gorgeous. I think that is the absolutely most laziest text. Like, I feel like, and I told this to one of my guy friends before. I said, when you do that, it feels like you just literally copy and paste and send that to about 4 or 5 other people. Because it's not intentional. Like, I want to hear, I want to read, like, good morning, Delina. I thought about you. I hope you have an amazing day. Like, I want to feel like you didn't copy and paste this. Facts. You know what I mean? So why? Just like, can you? Why do men do that?
It's convenient.
I'm gonna see if I can get a sound effect for that, because that was straight. That was like straight to the point. It's convenient.
It's convenient. I'm killing multiple birds with one stone. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get a response from you, because most girls, you send them a good morning text. That's enough for them. Like, you show me that you're thinking about me. You send me a good morning text. I'm in. I got it. Also, I'm getting what I want, because you're going to respond, and then you're going to be all excited because you're going to think, oh, he thinking about me. Oh, he really liked me. He sending me good morning texts every day. So it's like, you're getting what you want regardless, and you're putting in bare minimum effort.
Bare minimum effort. And you know what I always say? Who did I hear say this? Steve Harvey said that. He said, if you lower the bar, they'll step right over it.
Facts.
But that is the hardest thing. I feel like when you like somebody, like, it is so hard to not be like, ooh, he texts me. And it's like, that really didn't require much effort. Why am I so excited Facts. About that? But I'm excited.
Thanks. And I feel like it's because, and it's most of the people that have been single for a little while, like, they want that attention. Even though they're saying they don't, most people crave that attention and want that affection from somebody else. So sending a bare minimum effort text, like, good morning, or hey, how you doing, like, in the middle of the day, it's enough for some people. Like, it's like, damn, like, this dude really fuck with me. Like, you know, he sent me a text, you know. So it's enough. But it's just like, it's one of those things where I always tell people, is like, you don't have to lower your standards. Even though you compromise with some things, don't lower your standards. Because there's a huge difference between compromising and lowering your standards.
Okay, so give me compromise and lowering your standards. Because if I'm still a part of the compromise, would I be lowering my standards? So explain.
I feel like it's not the same thing for me, and this is how I'm going to paint the picture of like compromising.
And this is what I like, because this is the notes of a man. Because men and women think about things totally different. So I like this. I wish I had popcorn.
It's just for me and my brain. When I say I'm lowering my standards, it's like, let's say for instance, you meet somebody and you and this dude talking or whatever, and he is in a relationship or just coming out of a relationship, but he's still talking to that chick or something like that.
Okay.
That's something that I feel like you're lowering your standards to like talk to him, because you know he's still with somebody or still talking to somebody.
Yeah.
That for me is lowering your standards, because you know you wouldn't get involved with somebody who was in a relationship or who still got like ties to somebody else type thing.
Right.
That for me is a standard lower. Or like, even if you're saying like, a lot of you women got those lists out here that you're going through checking off stuff. And she already know how I feel about that list. Because I fussed at her plenty of times about this list idea.
I mean, it's a mental breakdown of things that I desire. Okay, let me let you finish. Okay, go ahead. What's wrong with the
that
list?
That to me can also be a compromise, because she already know. So like for me, like a compromise type thing is like the dude dressed funny. That to me can be a compromise. It ain't the end of the world. Like, he's meeting your needs and he's doing everything he's supposed to as far as a relationship goes, but you don't like the way he dressed. Okay. That's a compromise. Oh, he country. He got a country accent or something like that. He talk weird. That's a compromise. Those are things you can look past or things you can, you know, mentally get over.
I agree.
Lowering your standards is like I said, like cheating, talking to somebody who's still in a relationship or just like still has those ties or something like that. Somebody who has like a whole bunch of like baby mama drama going on.
Oh, Lord.
Those are things where you're lowering your standards. You're saying like, okay, this guy's cute. He got this and he got this. I can, you know, It's okay if he got, you know, multiple baby mamas. Yeah. It's okay if he has, like, a relationship that he's just, like, you know, trying to get out of. Mm-hmm. I'll still talk to him type thing. Those are things where you're lowering your standards for.
Yeah. Because, and shout out to all the baby mamas. and the baby daddy. Shout out. But I feel like that I can understand. It's like dealing with a man who's in that space. There's multiple mothers of children. It puts you in a space where you have to deal with them to a certain degree, and it could be a bit much for your relationship. So, okay, yeah, I can kind of understand what you mean by compromise, and, you know, I can kind of understand, you know. I was in conversation with a guy at my job just the other day, and he was saying, you know, if a guy, he was referring to the list, and he was like, what if he doesn't meet the things on the list? And I'm just like, well, I don't feel like my list is too bad. You feel? I really don't feel like my list is too bad. Let me give you a little snippet of what's on my list.
I'm waiting.
Okay. I mean, just to give you an example, I like a man who, number one, has a relationship with God. That's remember, I need to know you're ruled and anchored in something. And to me, you need to be anchored in something that's going to speak to your moral compass, you know, and your character and things like that. So a relationship with God, I'm saying, you got to go to church every other day and all the things and tote around your Bible and throw holy water. I'm not saying that, but I want to know, you know about God, you have a relationship, and I want to know that that's existing. I want you to be financially secure. I just feel like I may fall in a hard time. I may need to say, you know what? Something happened with my car. I need $300. Can you help me with this? Or can you take me somewhere where I can get it fixed? And I don't want it to be a hardship for you. You know what I'm saying? Then we're going to be beefing. So relationship with God, I want you to be financially stable. I want you to have a career. Not just a job that you're going to every day, but something that makes you thrive, that gives you purpose and meaning. Because I feel like you unlock a whole different version of a man when he is doing something that speaks to his purpose.
Thanks.
You know what I mean? He has more attention for you. He cares about the things that you care about, and he's able to give more of himself when he's in that space. I want somebody who communicates well. You know, communication is listening and hearing and feedback and all of the things. Communicating well. Am I getting overwhelming with the list? Because
no, I'm just waiting.
Okay. I'm almost there, because for the listeners, he's nodding his head and he's giving me like this look like I'm going to fry you in the pan with olive oil.
I'm just waiting.
He's got the eyes tilted and he's nodding the head for my listeners. But you know, I mean, I want someone well-rounded who's a law-abiding citizen. I don't really prefer to deal with someone with a criminal record, although I understand everyone has a past. But it depends on how the past has defined you up until this point. Like, I mean, if you was convicted of murder 17 years ago or maiming, you know, I might have to slide to the left, you know. But I'll support you as your friend, though, because, you know, never know where I may be. I might need to call a killer. But no, I mean, I don't necessarily want to be with you in that way. Right. You understand? And, you know, with somebody that's honest, you know, and, you know, honest. And although my children have a great dad, I'm not looking for someone to come in and be like, oh, I am stepdad, hear me roar. But I do want you to be able to pour into them in a positive way.
Nice.
You know, and you can be that person, extra sounding board for them to give advice or whatever. You know, but I don't feel like, and that's pretty much in a nutshell the list. There are certain things I'm compromising on and certain things I'm not. I'm not compromising on a man that has poor health and hygiene. Like, not that you have a health issue. Let's just say you got, not the gout, but you got like high blood pressure, or you have arthritis or something. That's not going to get you off the list. What would get you off the list is if you know you have these issues and you don't take care of it, and then you participate in things that aggravate your condition and make it worse. Because there will be a point where we may become married and now I got to be your caregiver. And I've asked myself, you know, but those are the things in a nutshell. So what do you say about that list?
The list is okay. It's not as bad as others I've heard before.
Okay.
And you've worked on the list a little too.
I have.
There have been some things
I did it for you.
Yeah. That was like, yeah,
did it for you.
That you were not single. Like, that's how the list was at first. But I feel like this. All these women have these lists and these ideas of what they want and what they're seeking in a partner and a man.
Mm-hmm.
But what if this man has these same requirements for women? And I feel like so many women negate the fact that it's a 50-50 partnership when you're in a relationship.
Is it 50-50?
It should be give and take, like both ways.
Oh,
so what if your
good.
Man
this is getting good
is gonna be stuck on the side of the road one day and he's like, oh babe, okay, I need $300 to get my car fixed or get my car sold.
Mm-hmm.
You gonna step up and look out for your man the same way he gonna look out for you?
Well, here's the thing. If we've been together all this time and you've allowed me to be in a space where I can be soft and you've been there for me, the things you're, I'll have that cushion saved up, because guess what? I'm not in a deficit the entire time. Now, we in a deficit the whole time, and it's like, I can't get a leg up, you can't get a leg up, and then you call me something, you stuck on the side of the road. I'm like, well, what we gonna do? You know what I'm saying? But no, if you've been there, you've been consistent, and our relationship is gelling the way it's supposed to, and I'm in my soft girl era, as people love to call it, and you hit a snag, I'm right there like, baby, what you need?
See, I like that, because I feel like sometimes these lists are so unequally yoked.
Not unequally yoked. Ooh.
Because it's like so many women ask for these men to be stable and financial, mm-hmm. like in career, but you don't have a job.
Mm.
You on government assistance.
Ooh.
But you want your man to have a Saks Fifth Avenue budget. Like, I mean, that to me is like one of those things where it's just, I look at it and I just shake my head. It's just like, how are we supporting, and particularly black men,
mm-hmm.
in these relationships and situations? Like, are you pouring into him as much as you want him to pour into you?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sending him texts in the morning? Are you sending him texts during lunch?
Mm-hmm.
Are you cash apping him, telling him, babe, go get your haircut, it's on me this week?
Well, that's like, real sassy.
I mean, it's those things.
Wait a minute, that's real sassy.
It's
though.
Not sassy.
It's the best gift.
It's you taking care of your man. Like, if I gotta take care of you, get your nails done, get your hair done, and all this other stuff, when we know these blowouts and these weeds cost hundreds of dollars. But you can't even look out for your man on a $30 haircut, or you can't buy him lunch. Like, that to me is one of those things where, like, it's just kind of like, it frustrates me.
Well, I don't feel like there's anything wrong with that. I don't have no problem with if that was my scenario. Listen, you know, baby, you good? You about to go to the barbershop. You good? You need, you know, let me send you a little something just because.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying? Now, I ain't saying I'm going to do it every week, because some of y'all get y'all haircut every week.
True.
And every other week, and no, I'm not doing that. But it's cool to do, you know, every couple months, just to check in and be like, you know, I want to do something nice for you, and I want
to
be
show
consistent.
It, like, I'm thinking about you, like, I got you.
And I think there are women that do that. And back to what you said with the man that has the great income, and then there's the woman that is on government assistance. Now, I do feel like every woman should spend that time getting themselves together. Now, once you get yourself together, you still might not be making the money he's making, but you can still bring other things to the table. Because there's some men that say, well, you know what? I make $200,000 a year. I want her to make $200,000 a year.
True.
You know?
I've never looked like that.
See, and my thing with that is, I feel like if she's making good money, then why does it have to be exactly what you make? Like, if she may be making $100,000 a year, but she may be a good homemaker. She may pour into you spiritually. She may come in and turn your home into this cozy fortress. She's cooking dinner 4 nights a week, still working like you. Coming home, helping with laundry, doing the grocery shopping. You guys are, you know, she's bringing other homemaking qualities to the table while still working outside of the home, just like you. But you'll throw her away because the dollar amount ain't the same.
Facts. If that's on his list, that's on his list.
Well, then, and that's what I'm saying. Men have their list and they don't deter from it. But women will get told, oh, that's a little bit too much. So if he's making good money, is there something wrong with him reaching back and pulling up?
Because
I mean, sometimes you got to give to the needy.
No, that's not. There's charities for that. It's not necessarily that you're like it's something wrong with it. I can get, like, you had a relationship or you had something going on with somebody before. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, most people's mindsets are going to change when they reach new plateaus. Like, nobody's going to be, how could I say it? If you get a new career, nobody's going to be in that position now thinking about, like, oh, let me holler at this chick that's working at McDonald's. Like, nobody's really going to think like that. Like, just be real with yourselves. Nobody's going to think like that. Mm-hmm. And nobody. You're going to be trying to meet people that's in your new world. Like, mm-hmm. That's just how it's
Shout out to all the people that work at McDonald's.
Facts. I thought about going there and getting a job, too, because that minimum wage look real good at McDonald's.
Because they be like, you can own your own franchise. I'm like, do tell me more. I worked at McDonald's. I did McDonald's. I did Wendy's and Taco Bell. Taco Bell, I lasted about 2 months. But
now, see, I've never done fast food. Subway was the closest I got to fast food.
Period. But go ahead. I mean, shouldn't you be so lucky?
Listen, you know.
Uh-huh. Ah, rub the beard. Rub the goatee with it when you
Uh-huh. But yeah, that's just how it is. Like, it's like our mindsets, like, we're automatically conditioned to change, like, when we reach new levels. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just an automatic thing for some reason.
Mm-hmm. And one more thing before we go on to the next little. You mentioned the thing about being unequally yoked. And I feel like I could do a whole episode on this, but I'm just want to tap and touch into the unequally yoked, because growing up, people talk about, speaking of finances and a man being here and, you know, maybe the female's here or vice versa and feeling like, you know what, I don't want to do that. Unequally yoked, when I grew up, it was a term that they use. So a yoke is what they put around the animals to guide them in the same direction, in a nutshell. And people use the term unequally yoked as far as in relationships but like how you just said, in terms of finances. But a lot of people, and including myself, thought it just meant religion. You know, it's like, well, don't get with someone that's from, like, if you're a Jehovah's Witness and somebody else is a Christian, and you guys are unequally yoked and this and that. But I know you and I had a conversation about unequally yoked. So give me what your understanding of unequally yoked means. Because we talked about finances. I mean, it was one part.
Thanks. Lord, you finna have me canceled by the Christians.
Lord, 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 Lord.
So for me, it goes deeper.
Christians ain't gonna do that, because everything about Christianity is love. Ain't nobody gonna cancel you, because they would not do that to you because they love you.
Oh, okay. So for me, it goes a little deeper than just religion, and it covers like a broad spectrum of things. Like, I've always took the understanding as being unequally yoked as like kind of like a life guy in general. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't, of course, the ultimate number one thing is believing God or having that foundation or that, mm-hmm. that belief. That's number one. But in other areas as well, like, you should not be getting with somebody who does things that don't align with you and your lifestyle and what you believe in as a person. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're a dude out here smoking crack, and you know, like, that doesn't align,
because crack is whack,
with your views and your moral standards, that's being mm-hmm. unequally yoked. Mm-hmm. If your dude out here busting you upside your head and fighting you every night, mm-hmm. and you out here saying, oh, but he believes in God, mm-hmm. I mean, that's not okay.
He believed Jesus turned water into wine.
Like, it's a broad spectrum of things. Like, when people say don't be unequally yoked, like, that to me means your morals and your views and your beliefs should line up mm-hmm. as close as possible. Mm-hmm. And it should not differ from that. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what it means to not be unequally yoked, in my opinion, for mm-hmm. you Bible believers out there.
Mm-hmm. You know what some Bible told me? Yeah, I mean, because you know they're going to be in the comments.
Yeah.
They're going to be on my head.
So.
What it means is 4 scores ago. No, but I feel like that's how I think about it. Like, if this man is in my life and he believes in God, because that's on my list, and he believes in God, I meet a man, he believes in God, we're sharing things that we know. We've expressed the interest in maybe learning more together. He's not beating on me, cheating on me, not encouraging me to use life-altering drugs. He's not forcing his belief system onto me. And we're coexisting with the idea to not force one belief or any sort of beliefs on each other. And I just believe, like, why would I throw him away because he's a Jehovah's Witness or he's the Latter-day Saint or whatever. You know, I do believe that being yoked is across the board in several different areas. Like you were saying, you know, I mean, he go upside my head, but he believed that Jesus died on the cross, so I'm going to stick beside him. Like, you're still not yoked properly because exactly. He could never allow himself to do that to you if he was aligned properly. So that's my version of that. So what I want to take it home with is in this world where there are so many biased and opinions and so many, I think about, again, my boys, how any little series of events can have them going left or going right, falling off track. Like, how do you keep the faith as a man, as a black man, as a believer? Keep that faith and keep pushing. Like, what's that thing in you that allows you to do it without losing the vision?
I mean, to sum it up, I guess I would just have to say your faith. Like, if you have that foundation instilled in you from an early age, like, that's something that you're always going to remember and have instilled in you. So
train
when
up.
Those things get hard, you're going to recall all of those things, all of those sermons, all of those scriptures, all of those teachings, and you're going to rely completely and solely on your faith.
Train up a child in the way they should go.
And he shall never depart.
Oh, wow. I'm trying to do better at that. Even in my own life, there are certain things I know I've strayed away from. And I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to make better decisions. And the way God deals with me is like this. Because I've had moments where I fell off. Thanks. Had moments where I was angry with God when I lost my mom. And it was like, go to church for what? You want me to do what? Sit where? Sing what? Thanks. Like, I'm hurting down here on earth. I am dying. I lost everything. Like, I don't even know how I'm going to get through this life. Thanks. And you want me to go and pray. So there was this period of time where I wasn't trying to hear. I knew God existed. I never played with God. I never, you know, was an atheist or like anti, you know, but it was just like, this is what he allowed to me to happen to me. So right now I'm putting you on mute. You know, that was how I felt. And I look back and I thank him for his grace and mercy, because there were some moments where he could have sifted me right on out of here like wheat, you know. And I'm grateful that I'm in a different space now. But even though I'm in that space of my journey and getting closer to God, there are things that I do question, and there are things that I want. And now, you know the saying, one day you'll look back on life and you'll see why it all had to happen.
Thanks.
I think I'm stepping into that era where I'm seeing a lot of things come full circle, including my faith. It's growing more. And I'm reverting to those things that I learned when I was younger, and I'm seeing how they play out. There are times when I could have made some really crazy decisions and I was right on the cusp because it looked real good. And I thought about it and I was like, ah. And then there are times when I didn't make good decisions, but I paid for those too. But, you know, there were times like in the last year where I could have really made some real bad decisions. Sure. And I was right there, like, I had to literally get on my knees and be like, Lord, help me, because I know this ain't what you want for me. The devil is a lot. Like, I know this ain't what you want for me. And I didn't do what I could have did. And then I started seeing things come together more in my life. So I'm happy about that. I know he's real, and I know that he moves in mysterious ways. And even though we don't always get it right, I don't believe God is like, you didn't get that right, so nope, get away. You know, I don't believe his love is like that. And even though that's what I did to him.
Facts.
You know, even when I lost my mom and I was like 18 and I was mad and angry at the world, and I was just like, I mean, it was, I'll cuss you out from left to right, and I could still rise to the occasion. you know, but I've calmed down a lot. I've gotten myself together, you know, and wouldn't feel that I would cut you like a sword. And I thank God that I've now evolved from that place. You know what I'm saying? Because it made me feel bad after the fact, like way after the fact, not in the midst of the cursing. The cursing feels good. And when I'm in the midst of the cursing, oh, I'll curse you from left to right.
Trust me.
I'm a professional cursor.
We know.
And you're not?
I'm not. I'm saved and delivered.
This is sheer motivation, sheer transparent conversation. But if you believe, if that's what you believe, I'm going to let you
know. That's what I know.
Okay. I'm glad that he saved you from the cursing.
Yeah, she said it all. He saved me.
He say, okay.
Stop.
Well, you know, that's good though. Because now what I love about this space is I can still tell you off and still get to the point. But I don't really have to curse you and belittle and make
I'm very good with words when it comes to like.
You are a wordsmith. Yeah.
Man. Professional.
I won't share our text thread right here. Because I didn't see any of the teachings. You're a little keyboard warrior. Because again, Trey was late. About 48 minutes late. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to touch on that.
And I drove over an hour to get here.
Because you love
over me. 70 miles.
That was, first of all, that if you left on time, then we wouldn't have had this issue. I gave you a wake up call. Uh-huh.
Mind you, Sunday is like my only day that I can like chill.
So for those who may be growing in their faith, I got a little excerpt I do want to read. And hopefully this will encourage you. It says, from the very beginning, Satan has tried to tempt humanity away from God. He works hard to keep people from knowing the truth about God. Even after a person miraculously comes to faith in Jesus, his battle continues. So even though you may make the choice to turn some things about your life around, just know like this is the beginning, not the end. It's going to be some uphill battles. It's going to be some times where you climb and feel like you sliding. Just keep the faith, keep moving, keep putting one foot in front of the other. And again, you too will get to a place where you look and you be like, okay, this is why it had to happen. So we've talked about friendships. We've talked about relationships. We've talked about our own growth and journey and being in that space. It's always good to know like the male dimension of it, you know, and how that comes into play. So if people want to follow you, Trey, where can they find you at?
Nowhere. I'm your followers.
So before we go though, I want to go back because again, this episode is titled, this fool said, nowhere. Trey like, this is your thing. You want to be the influence. I'm going to help you influence, but don't send them my way.
My life is fun. I don't need the microscope and all the extra.
So I entitled this episode again, Notes of a Man. Because those were some things that I was just always curious about. But as I said before, I played on the words a little bit because you got that. And so I think it would be great if you give us a little 5 second.
A 5 second.
Something like that. You could do 10, 15, 20. You know, because Trey got a little talent on him. And I know you're talented. You know you're talented. It's a lot of people that know Trey is talented. Even though you don't want to share that with the world. You know?
I guess there's one joint that kind of goes with your excerpt a little bit.
Okay.
I know my key is going to be crazy messed up.
Get some water in before you start because we want to make sure that everything is lubricated.
So, but the impossible is God's chance to work a miracle, so just know that it Until God says it's over, it ain't over. Until God says it's done. No, 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 it ain't over. Until God says it's over, keep fighting till your victory is won.
Woo! I love it. Yes, I could just hear my daughter, like, she over there walking up like, that's what I'm talking about. That is beautiful. I already know I love your voice.
Yeah, so anybody out there who is, you know, struggling or trying to figure things out, I always tell people, just pray about it. Takes 2 seconds just to get that off and clear your mind and be able to relax. And if you are trying to find a salvation or trying to find Christ, it's easy as ABC. Admit, believe, and confess, and you are saved.
There you go. There you go. And it ain't over till God says it's over. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you. That was beautiful. I enjoyed this conversation. I'm going to see if I can get you to come back. Facts. You know, because he awesome. Antisocial sometimes. Have your people call my people with the lunch?
I was promised lunch, but I didn't. Didn't
I got lunch here. Okay. But thank you again for your time. And thank you guys so much for listening and watching. I appreciate your time. Before we get out of here, hit that like, subscribe button so you don't miss a single episode. If you don't have time to watch on YouTube, just check me out on Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Apple Podcasts. Thanks again so much for watching. And come back and see me next week for another dose of sheer motivation. We'll be right back.